Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Tuesday, Keith, we check in at City Hall, and we head to the mayor's office in a good way. We're not in trouble. We're just going over there. We're invited. This is great. Mayor John Hamilton joins us on the telephone. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you again. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure for you to join us, and we thank you for your time as always. We're trying to put a little sunshine up ever since we decided that Kirkwood and or parts of Kirkwood throughout the Sample Gates area and then towards Walnut Street is going to be open all the time for the rest of the year. I haven't had any sunshine in the forecast. I will take full responsibility for my misgivings in that department.
Well, you know, we try to do our part. Come on now, Mike. You know, this has been a pilot. We obviously working with, COVID and what that did to our restaurants, and we've been looking at how to help with parklets and, special short-term parking drop-off pickup places and all that, and then the closures of parts of Kirkwood. And given how it's been experienced by the customers and by the restaurants, we worked together and just last week decided we're going to keep two blocks of Kirkwood closed to motorized traffic through the rest of the year. That's the plan anyway. You know, you make plans these days, you never know for sure, but that's the plan. And it's the block, the west end there between Walnut and Washington will be closed 24/7 to motorized traffic through the end of the year. And then the block between Dunn and Grant also closed 24/7 till the end of the year. That lets those restaurants kind of upgrade their facilities there out in the road and put in some more appropriate weather-related activity events and facilities. So we hope it'll be a productive next few months. And if you're going to go out to eat, it's good to eat outdoors if you can. So check it out. And I also want to give a shout out to Indiana University, because working with them, they agreed to make some of the parking lots nearby open to the public after 5 p.m. So some of those IU lots along Indiana, and actually the garage there on 7th, Poplar's garage, and they're going to make those available to people, the public, after 5 p.m. So we're taking away some parking places on the street, but I appreciate IU's collaboration in making those available.
And the parking meters and everything else just are running just as normally as possible. I don't want to get people saying, well, if the garages are closed at 5, I don't have to pay to park on the street at 5. That's just not the case.
Well, the meters are still the meters. And so, right, if you want to park on the street at a meter, you got to pay the meter as regular. But we are making some options for some surface lots or the garages that are a little bit distance away. It may diminish our meter revenue a little bit, but it just creates more options and more opportunity for people to frequent down on Kirkwood. So check it out. And yeah, we do have one warm day coming up, I think, this week.
At least
so
two.
That's a good one.
Yeah, 82 on Thursday and 79 on Friday. If we can dodge the raindrops on Friday, that would be great as well. And the other part of this plan to have it 24/7 is we're at a time of the year where it's not going to be 82 and 79, and it's hard to wheel in heaters and wheel in tables. It's a little bit easier for the merchants participating in this. Was that one of the reasons as well, doing it all the time?
Exactly. So they can set up some more, don't have to pull it in and out all the time, and set up some heaters and tables and maybe even some plants and some dart. I don't know what they'll do.
They'll be creative now.
To try to make it more friendly. Yeah.
And then throw on top of that, Bloomington Restaurant Week started yesterday, so this is all coming together at a great time.
There we go. Check it out.
And
get out there.
And the other part is, well, let's just add some more gas to it. It's the first Big Ten football weekend, but this one, Mayor Hamilton, will be much, 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 much different than we've seen in the past. But a conglomeration of all the Big Ten mayors got together and wrote a letter about some safety. Tell us what's in that letter and what you guys hope to achieve by putting that all together.
Yes, you know, that was really prompted by some other Big Ten mayors up in Michigan who wanted to communicate, and I think part of it's driven by the fact that you've got some communities that are facing some pretty challenging health outcomes. But this is basically a joint letter from almost all the Big Ten city mayors to the Big Ten Athletic Conference saying, we really appreciate the collaboration. You know, we're looking forward to football season, but we want to talk about making sure we do all that we can intelligently. And that includes, you know, we recommend trying to reduce, I know it's not all in their control, night games, late games, being aware that alcohol use can cloud people's judgment, and recommend that we work together on trying to manage crowds, manage approaches. And look, Indiana University's been terrific with us, so it wasn't driven by any complaints about that. It was just kind of trying to give a message to the Big Ten Conference to make sure we're all working together on that. So, you know, it's just really important to remember, you kind of have to act like you may be infectious, even though you feel fine, and even though you had a negative test yesterday. We're doing well locally because we're doing the right things with masking and distancing and being responsible and saying, hey, I might be infectious, I don't even know it. You might be infectious and you may not know it. So it's just not losing that sense that controlling this virus means acting responsibly and not giving up and not slacking off. So that's what the message is about too.
And part of that, Keith and I were talking about last hour, the county health department where the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor is, they have just issued in the last hour a stay-in-place order for the University of Michigan's undergraduate students beginning immediately because of the rise of COVID-19 cases. The order will not impact athletic activity at this time, it says here. Michigan travels to Minnesota. Despite the stay-in-place order running until November 3rd, the health department said any students who are associated with intercollegiate varsity sports may attend practice and competition because they're all being tested, according to the Big Ten. That's probably why. But that's something that just broke this afternoon. And you mentioned the mayors from the Michigan schools wanted to do this. Well, now we know why they want to do it. Mayor John Hamilton, Keith, is our guest this afternoon. He checks in every Tuesday afternoon just after 4:05.
Things you were just talking about was the safety, and you know, we all could be a carrier and all that. Last week you made a very important statement about Halloween and trick-or-treating hours, in that you said the city is not going to establish a day and a time because that's like telling people to go out and do it, and you think that people probably would be best to avoid groups and all the things you've already said. However, last week the county set a day and a time for trick-or-treating. Does that kind of put the two of you at odds, and are you sending different messages?
No, I don't want to go on record as being anti-Halloween or anything.
Right.
I want to be clear. But look, you know, people are dying, and we have a disease that is really serious, and we need to recognize that we got to do Halloween differently this year. I don't think we're going to have the lighting of the, you know, downtown Festival of Lights the same way the day after Halloween, because we just shouldn't be gathering. We felt that the county health department ought to run this and ought to tell people how to handle Halloween. And they said, follow the CDC guidelines. And the CDC guidelines have a whole set of information that suggests door-to-door canvassing, door-to-door trick-or-treating is probably a high-risk activity. So I just felt like, look, people look for government. Sometimes people complain about government telling them what to do or what not to do. Well, this is a circumstance where government's just stepping back from my perspective and saying, Halloween's on your own. Figure out what you're safe with. Do you have an elderly person in your home that you're extremely worried about? Well, you ought to approach Halloween maybe differently if you don't have that in your home. And I just think, look, people can celebrate Halloween in a lot of different ways, and there's lots of a block may decide to do a certain thing, or a neighborhood may decide to do a certain thing, or a particular household may decide to do a certain thing. But I just think we should recognize this is a different year, and let's be careful and not project that there's a certain period of time that's okay to go trick-or-treating, because it really depends on your situation.
one of the things that you made reference to, I can go ahead and announce because you made reference to it, the lighting of the canopy of lights downtown the day after Thanksgiving will not happen this year. Talisha Kopic of Bloomington Downtown has sent me a note that says, because of COVID, they don't need the crowds. They don't need that kind of gathering.
Well, you don't need people singing. And
that's right. Well, careful, though. The mayor has been there singing. Right.
That's my point. You read every article. It says every choir that's gotten together, 90% of the people that are singing get COVID. So that's not a good it's not a good idea.
But that's already been put aside, Mr. Mayor. So,
Mr. Mayor, you should come up with this idea, and I'll take full credit for it, Silent Night. Where we all go out there and stand 8 feet apart, and there we go. We'll take that COVID.
Hey, by the way, since last time we talked, congratulations, a budget has passed by the city council.
Well, that was important. That was last Wednesday, right? We've got a budget now that's it has to go up to Indianapolis formally to be approved by the state government, but we've sent that up. I signed it, and we're moving ready for 2021. It's going to be an interesting year. You know, but I appreciate the council's support and the public's attention in making that better. So, yeah.
How about that? Because you know you had money this year. You already know that there won't be that kind of money next year. How do you do two budgets when you know that it's going to get cut next time?
Well, you do two things at once, I think. One is you recognize that city government and governments generally need to play a big role to help us recover. That's my recover forward emphasis, that government needs to be a partner to help people get jobs, to help protect housing, to help for the safety net, make sure people don't go hungry. And government is needed more than ever in this kind of time period. But you also need to recognize, on the other hand, that the revenues going forward are going to be a challenge, particularly in 2022 and 23. So you got to be thinking about how are we going to manage that. There's a bunch of different choices. We cut back any growth of personnel in any substantial way from the general fund, and we've had to cut back some projects that we wanted to do that are want to have but not need to have right now. But so you do both those things at once. And I think the budget that we have addresses the really big challenges in front of us in a good way. There's always little things that people want to change in any given budget, but I'm pleased overall that we're moving in the right direction. And, you know, our communities pulled together. We got to recognize, you know, we're doing well right now, but the state is not. The state is really hitting a second wave here. Not only with cases, which have gone up a lot, positive cases, but just in the last week or two, the death rate has gone up substantially, too. So it's you know, this is really serious. And you obviously can look around the country and see the stakes. So we got to stay the course. The government's got to be a partner in all this. And that's what the budget will help us do for the next 15 months, at least through 2021.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. And while you're on that topic, you have the situation that we've already heard of a twindemic instead of a pandemic, and that's the combination of COVID and flu. You have this meeting weekly with the health people. Are you talking about that possibility at all?
Well, it's good to point that out, Keith. You know, please get your flu shots. It is more important this year than ever. It helps protect each of us to get a flu shot. It also helps protect our healthcare system to not get overwhelmed with the combination of flu and COVID, which, of course, the symptoms can be very similar and can really cause problems. Our hospital has actually had a bump in cases. Half of them are from outside our county. But they've already started to see a rise. So please get your flu shot. Absolutely, it's a big factor that we talk about every week. We'll meet tomorrow to get the latest update of information from Indiana University and all their testing. We're doing the water utility testing. We're in week 9 of 13 of the Indiana University semester. And I will tell you, I'm really pleased and proud that so far we've been able to keep doing what we're doing. The school corporation is cranking along, and you know we're in a lot better place than we could have been. Let's just say that. And I think it's because people are listening, they're paying attention, and they're doing the right thing. So let's hang in there through Thanksgiving at least.
By the way, I got my flu shot, and you're much younger than me, so what you need to know is I discovered this. There's a high-test, high-octane shot for us older people that's different than what you younger people
get. Well, why are you rubbing it in?
Well, no, I
think we can't get it.
So what's triple protected, apparently.
but I think Mayor
Heath or something, yeah.
And I think that's fantastic that people are getting their flu shot because it's a completely different strain of virus. But that does not make you immune to the other one.
No.
It's just amazing how many people get their news on Facebook these days or other places that they want to read what they want to believe as opposed to medical science, which is what we should be following. And if there ever comes a point where things get a little, if we start turning in the wrong direction, does our hospital system here locally, Mayor Hamilton, say, we're good, Owen County, we're good, Greene County, you need to go somewhere else? Or do we have to accept? I don't know how any of that works. Can you alleviate some of my fear?
Well, the IU health system, which is a statewide system, is a very integrated approach. We've taken cases from other places. We've actually, there's been a period when we had to move patients to other hospitals from here months ago. And it's a good thing. They're run as a large system that helps manage outbreaks in different places, and that's good. Our public health system can do similar things. I'll tell you, one of the images, if you think about a thermostat on your wall and how you try to, you tweak it to make your temperature right, I think what we're doing here is it's a multivariable thermostat that we're trying to do to protect the health. If the health is the temperature, we're just trying to keep the temperature down. We have all these dials, and there are a dozen different ones on how many people can gather in one place. So what kind of stay-at-home order? What kind of mask participation? What can restaurants do? What can schools do? All those are pieces of a big, complicated thermostat, and everything affects everything else. So we're kind of trying to dial all this stuff in to keep the temperature down. Flu shots is a part of that. The more flu shots we can get, just helps decrease the pressure on the healthcare system. So those systems do share, and we have, for example, our hospitalization rate has gone up fairly significantly in the last few weeks, but it's really people from out of town who are brought in, and that's okay because they're getting good care there. But overall, that's one of the ways the state worries us a little bit. If you have the state going the wrong direction, that affects us. Even if things are going well here, we get hospital patients, we get visitors coming in, we got students going back home, and they go to a place with an infection rate four times higher than here, they can bring it back. So it's all a complicated mosaic.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things you do when you meet with us each Tuesday is talk about some of the things that are coming up. And on your list, and I'm fascinated by this, I've never seen it in person, the pumpkin catapult is coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder if the betting people
Bloomington
are into
pumpkin
that.
Launch.
Yeah. So we get odds on how far a pumpkin can go.
This isn't two guys with a rubber band and a pumpkin, Keith. This is some high-level stuff.
Wow.
Well, you could try that. I don't think you'd do well in the contest if you showed up that way. But, yeah, there's different teams of youth and student and adult. There's you got to have mechanical-only devices. I'm sure, you can't use hydraulics or compressed air. And you go out into the Monroe County Fairgrounds this Saturday at 11:30, and they contest and see who can throw it the farthest. And we used to have a pumpkin catching contest, but we got rid of that a while back.
After I broke my arm, that was taken off the books. No more.
Yeah, but that's this Saturday. That's this Saturday out at the Fairgrounds.
And then you got another event coming up at Switchyard Park, a movie coming up there?
Yeah, kind of a whole other approach. The same day, Saturday at Switchyard Park at the pavilion at 2:00. There's an event called Black Power Mixtape, and it's a screening of a film basically about Black Power in America from 1967 to 1975, so kind of the growth of the Black Power movement, and it's supposed to be a really good documentary. The City of Bloomington's Martin Luther King Holiday Commission's presenting it, and then there'll be a discussion afterwards. They'll be carefully socially distanced and all that, but check that out and make reservations. That's from 2 to 4:30, I believe, at the Switchyard Pavilion this Saturday. Another option. And of course, there's Farmer's Market in the morning,
right,
too.
And over the weekend, you had a car show at Switchyard Park.
We did. I didn't make it to that, but I saw the pictures there. You know, we're finding ways to enjoy the park and enjoy things outdoors, which is a good idea these days.
Socially distance and keep your distance. Yes, that would be a good plan for it all. Anything that has you interested or concerned for IU's numbers coming out tomorrow as they do on a Wednesday?
Well, we'll watch them carefully. They've had last week let's put it in context. 4 weeks in a row, we'd had really good declining numbers in all the indicators. Last week, we had a slight bump up in one or two of the indicators, but others still good. So this week will be important to see, does it continue the good progress that we hope to see from all that IU testing or something else going on? We'll find that out tomorrow. I'm hopeful. And, you know, again, we meet that afternoon. It's good timing that afternoon. The health group will meet. We'll do our press conference on Friday afternoon at 1:15. If there are any changes or updates, we'll be sharing them then.
Yeah, and on these airwaves, we will have Chuck Carney, 3 Big Things at IU, as we always do, 3:35 Wednesday afternoon, which is tomorrow. Mayor Hamilton, we thank you as always for your time every Tuesday, and we look forward to meeting with you next week.
Really good to talk with you. Y'all have a good week. Thanks so much.
Take care, Mr. Mayor.